Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. You can join us. And as always, bring up anything you want. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And a happy Independence Day Eve to you. Yes, that's right. It is not long before Independence Day, which will be tomorrow. Of course, most people don't actually call it Independence Day these days. They call it the 4th of July, and it's a bit of a pet peeve for some of us around here because we do really appreciate the ideas of independence. It's something we talk about a lot here on Free Talk Live. And so we want to remind people that that is the sort of the reason for the holiday. A lot of people are out there eating hot dogs, having barbecues, drinking beers, and not really understanding why. There's just some sort of patriotic mentality that's going into it. But do they actually recall that what we are talking about is a celebration of arguably the most successful secessionist movement in, you know, hundreds of years? I mean, the United States has been a tremendous success as far as financial freedom is concerned. A lot of the people who moved here in that time frame of the 1700s, the 1800s, they did very, very well for themselves because they had the freedom to do that. There wasn't some big overarching federal or even state government in a lot of cases that was cramming regulations and taxes down people's throats. And so we had an unprecedented amount of financial success and financial freedom that resulted in that success that in the last 100 years has been slowly taken away bit by bit to the point where you now have a federal government that gets involved in absolutely every aspect of people's lives they possibly can. And if they haven't gotten involved in some aspect that you can think of, I'm sure they're planning on, you know, something to invade that space of yours sooner rather than later. And that, of course, has resulted in secession talks happening all around the country. It's happening in Texas right now with the what they call the Texas Nationalist Movement. And I had a nice conversation with Daniel Miller. He was on our, we have a weekly secession activism call here in New Hampshire, and Daniel will pop in from time to time, and it's always fun to kind of pick his brain about what's going on down there. Right now, they are collecting petition signatures, and they are looking to get 150,000 petition signatures, 100,000 for the Republican primary ballot, and 50,000 for the Democratic primary ballot. Which in a state with like apparently 14 million voters and, you know, 20 plus million people seems eminently doable. Like 100,000, I mean, it is a lot. There's no doubt about it. But by comparison, I think California is like 600,000 to get something on the ballot there. So 100,000 by comparison is very, very limited. And I think that they can pull this off.
There's 2.4 million people in San Antonio.
Wow. So
I looked it up the other day. It went up. I always used to say 1.6 million because that was like the last number I had seen. And I looked it up just the other day to make sure, and it updated in 2020 to 2.4 million.
That's crazy.
Like the metropolitan area either. If you include Cibolo and New Braunfels and all that stuff, it was like 4 million.
Yeah. So I think doing 100,000, and again, 100,000 Republican, 50,000 Democrat, is doable. So what it would do, would if they get the number of signatures, is it would get a question, basically a referendum. It's not binding, okay? So it would be a referendum. I don't have the exact language in front of me, but essentially it says something to the effect of, should Texas declare its status as an independent, or redeclare. Should Texas redeclare its status as an independent nation?
It would be great to just see how many people vote
right.
for that.
Right. That's basically the idea, is just to take the temperature of the Texas voters and have them weigh in on this. And we may have Mark joining us here. I don't know if he's got his equipment working correctly because we didn't have a chance to test it with him.
Well,
before the show, so he may just pop on in here randomly.
This referendum.
We'll see.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
He's popped in. Welcome, sir.
Referendum in Texas would definitely start a lot of conversations.
Absolutely,
too.
It would, because you know previously they've talked about these things. They've gone through a certain political process of having us like a state representative introduce legislation that, if the state house passed it, would then put something on the ballot. And Texas is kind of like New Hampshire in that it doesn't have your typical referendum process, meaning that, or ballot measure process, where, like, when Mark and I were in Florida, they would just put all kinds of crazy things on the ballot. Like, the smoking ban came in through the ballot. There was, I think, a bullet train that came in through the ballot.
Floridians voted in a smoking ban?
They sure did. Terrible. By a 70% margin, if I recall correctly.
Wow.
Yeah, it has to be at least 60% in order to pass.
Right, because it's a constitutional amendment, isn't it, down there, I think?
Yeah, it's a constitutional amendment. They decided how many square feet a pig could have agriculturally. I mean, the thing just goes on and on. Medical marijuana, I also believe, was brought in through the ballot measure. So, you know, it's been... This is the problem with populism.
Yeah.
Is if you give people an opinion on, hey, do you want a super fast choo-choo that runs from Orlando to Miami? And they're like, yeah!
And a bunch of people
what if you had to pay billions for it? And then they're like, no! And
yeah, wasn't
so literally,
it year
like, 4 years later.
Yeah.
It was 4 years later after they'd spent untold
billions
or
something, yeah.
on donuts and plans. They rescinded it.
Yeah. By the same margin, if I recall correctly, it was like 70% wanted the choo-choo, and then after a bunch of money got spent and nothing happened, then 70% decided they didn't want it. But anyway, in Texas, they don't have that process of getting a ballot measure. And I guess since they're constitutional amendments, Florida doesn't really either. But for whatever reason, it seems really easy to do it in Florida because it happens all the time, whereas here it doesn't happen as often. So I don't know about Texas like doing constitutional amendments, but
and
you can't
registered to vote there.
Yeah, you can't just get one. You can't get like a referendum, I don't think, on the the general election ballot, but apparently you can on the primary ballot. So that's what they're working on trying to do there right now. And of course, that's going to result in a lot of media coverage. It's going to result in a lot of interviews for the folks down there in Texas. And obviously, we're hoping to piggyback on that to some extent here in New Hampshire, where we can put forward yet another constitutional amendment proposal to get that on the ballot again here, which, again, it has not gone on the ballot, but to try to get it on the ballot. And I guess that's one difference, is there's no amount of signatures that one can gather in New Hampshire to put something on the ballot. It has to go through the state representatives, which basically means it's not going to happen. But it, at the very least, would result in some discussion. It would result in some media coverage. And it would result in the people that didn't take us seriously the first time realizing that we're not just going to pack up and quit on this particular issue. So that's some of the those are some of the things that are being tossed around here as we, again, here on Independence Eve, as we're reminding people about what is independence and why is it important, and remind Americans that the holiday that you'll be celebrating, if you're celebrating tomorrow, is about secession. It's about the people here declaring their independence from the political system in under the king. And we did it before, and there's no reason why we can't do it again.
The Declaration of Independence, I think, is a superior document to the Constitution.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. So if you want
it's
to comment.
A rhetorical document as opposed to a governing document, so it's just it's kind of an easier thing. But I mean, you know, it's easy to say, hey, you didn't do this and you didn't do this and you didn't do this, so we're out of here. But I think what's important about the consider about the Constitution is that the people of the United States at the time would not vote it in without the 10th Amendment. And the 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited to it by the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. which is to say that everything that is not explicitly mentioned in the U.S. Constitution is not allowed in, but, you know, for the U.S. government to be doing. They shouldn't be doing whatever it is that they're doing. So if it's not post roads, if it's not weights and measures, if it's not declaring war,
right.
That's the business of the states, not the business of the federal government. The problem, the flaw in the Constitution is that it allows the federal government, which is to say the Supreme Court, to decide whether or not it has the business to do it.
Yeah.
So it turns out we've reviewed our actions and we've decided we've done nothing wrong, right? So everything's under the either the Interstate Commerce Clause or the General Welfare Clause. Like, if it wasn't for these two things, the federal government wouldn't be presumably able to do the things that it has done heretofore. But the FBI, well, it's to promote the general welfare. What else?
Yeah, and it's, a lot of this big government stuff is, of course, one of the reasons why a lot of people are considering it being time to leave. In fact, a Northern California county is now having secession talks. We can talk about that coming up here.
My mom told me the other day, and I don't, like, have a place to quote this from, but my mom is, like, she loves to read about history, especially American history. She told me that some states, or at least one state, refused to join the United States of America unless they were given the opportunity to leave when they wanted to.
Which one was that?
I don't know.
I know Texas wrote something into their constitution.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Texas.
But the fact is, this goes back to the 10th Amendment.
I don't think it was Texas because it wasn't one of the 13 colonies.
It was one of the 13?
Was not.
Was not. Well, Texas wasn't.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. You're saying it was one of the 13. Though.
Oh, one of the 13 colonies is the one that did that, and Texas is not one.
Got it. Well, New Hampshire, of course, has the 10th, not amendment, but the
right to revolution.
Yeah,
Article
10, which is the right to revolution, which essentially says that you have a right to throw off the shackles of an oppressive government, and not necessarily violently, but that you have the right to, you know, start again, essentially. And it's very similar to the language, as I recall, that is in the Texas Constitution. But regardless,
doesn't it say the tree is thirsty?
I don't think so. But regardless of what the language exactly says in the state constitutions, the point is that per the 10th Amendment Mark was talking about in the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. Constitution does not address leaving. And so what that means is it's up to the states to decide what it means to say goodbye. And so if a state wants to say goodbye, then they can just make that decision. There's no prohibition on that in the U.S. Constitution. It does not address any sort of process for leaving. And so some people say, well, that means that there is no process
kind of
and
does.
You can't leave. But that they're wrong.
It has the process to amend the agreement. So the U.S. Constitution is this overstep in contract law that sort of occurred at the Second Continental Congress. And so, I mean, you know, basically the Articles of Confederation, quote unquote, weren't working or whatever. And so they were going back for a second shot at it and they passed the Constitution. And now remember, they had to, I'd have to look it up right here, but it looks like, I think it was Rhode Island, they threatened to blockade them if they wouldn't sign. So, act of war, in order to get people to sign, which says to me that the document isn't valid in the first place. But, you know, I think that they could pretty easily go back and amend it through the Continental Congress situation, but they've tried to convene other Continental Congresses, and the states and the government have ignored it.
Well, I mean, the idea is you don't need to amend something because there's no discussion in the Constitution about how to end the relationship. So it's just not addressed, so therefore it's part of the states. Like, it's pretty clear, it's pretty obvious, it's pretty logical that they joined, therefore they can leave on whatever terms that they want to, because there are no terms specified in the Constitution. And we, you know, we've yet to see a peaceful attempt to actually do this, so it'll be interesting to, you know, to see how this comes out. Because at some point, it's
going to happen. A little
advice
on any state that wants to secede, don't fire on a U.S. fort.
Yeah.
Little advice.
Yep. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Exactly. So according to the New York Times.
And think about this. the right. Who knows who fired it? The thing. Think about this. Cuba has existed as an independent country for, depending on how you want to qualify it, at the very least 60 years. And there's been a U.S. base on the island of Cuba for that period of time.
Yeah.
Somehow they managed to continue to do business with a U.S. base there. Just because a U.S. base happens to be in within the you know, the confines of your state, whatever it might be, doesn't mean you got a fire on it.
Yep. Exactly.
I don't even think the one that is up here gets used very much. What's it called? Post? Or
Pease Air Force Base?
Pease? Yeah.
Oh, we saw some planes flying in when we were over at Bruce Fenton's house.
Was it a real, were they government planes? Or
it was like a big military cargo plane or something.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's like a bustling, I have never met someone in the military who's like, yeah, I just got stationed here from Pease and New
England. It's probably pretty small, but honestly, I don't really know anything about it. But these are things that can be negotiated later on. And ultimately, it's the fact is, when an idea has come, it cannot ultimately be stopped. So if there are enough people that actually value the ideas of independence, and right now there aren't, at least according to the polling that we've done. We did a new poll just about a month and a half ago that we actually really haven't discussed very much here. I don't think we really took the time to talk about it. But ultimately, the numbers in the new poll weren't as good as the numbers last year. Of course, last year was the first time ever there had ever been any polling done in New Hampshire on the question of independence. Like, the questions we want to ask, yeah, there have been some sort of regional polls that have asked people in New England and the Southeast and, you know, the West Coast, and they've asked people all across the country about secession. It's been about a third on average of Americans who would support, like, regional secession, meaning that they would secede along with their neighboring
all
states.
All New England.
Yeah. And
all the Midwest.
And they would have, like, their own federation. So those weren't exactly the questions that we, those of us who support independence for just one state, really wanted to ask. So we got to do that last year. And I do have the results. We might as well talk about it since it is Independence Eve, and then we can talk about California.
Somebody in your secession booster club brought up the other day the idea that even though these poll results are not as favorable for secession, it does feel more realistic. Like, it seems that if 60% of people were ready to leave tomorrow, that'd be something we would basically be able to feel in the temperature of the state's feelings for secession.
Yeah, well, it's clearly the people on my jury weren't secessionists, right?
Yep, nine members of your peer that were total 12. Blank, or 12, sorry, total blank slates, too. They just were there for justice.
Yeah, we got a long way to go on this, and the numbers are down, and they're down by about half compared to what they were last year. The difference being this year, which had a different organization do the polling. So last year it was a group called Survey USA, which is purportedly reputable. I personally had never heard of them, but, you know, supposedly they, you know, they're scientific.
Well, I also have another theory on why it would be so much different from Survey USA. Is maybe it's just that before the media got to have their outrage about the CACR 32, the constitutional amendment that got proposed in the State House of New Hampshire
last year.
In 2021, right? Oh, wait, 2022.
No, 2022, yeah.
Anyways, maybe before the media got their outrage articles out about it, maybe people just were like, huh, I guess so. And then, you know, they got told what to think about it from the media, because the media was like, this is preposterous. It's so bad.
Maybe.
We can't let this happen. So, like,
Could be, but one of the questions that was asked this time that had not been asked before was actually specifically about awareness, and I think it was like only half of people in New Hampshire, I don't have that answer in front of me right now, but I think it was about half of the people of New Hampshire had even heard anything at all about the secessionist question or the constitutional amendment the previous year. So there really wasn't a large amount of awareness, there's more of a breakdown on that, which I can pull up here in a little bit. But
I think that probably, if people want to know the consequences of a given action, and if they found out the consequences weren't going to be exactly the way that they want them to go, I mean, like, you guys are really into secession, and if it was you know, 15, 20 years of a hard road to progress to where New Hampshire is going to have a greater, brighter vision after this sort of dip in commerce and trade and banking and all the stuff that could happen. Well, you're willing to do that in order to not be associated with the federal government and its wars and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people have that same thought process. You're like, hey, would you quit New Hampshire if you no longer could have a bank account? You know, they'd be like, no. Or excuse me, would you quit the federal government if you could no longer have a bank account for the next 5 years?
Well, I mean, that's a silly question.
It's a big if, Mark, but I agree with you that if somebody has thought of that in their head, the average person's going to be like, whoa, that's crazy. But it's just also a big if. Like, I just don't think
most
there's actually... I don't
want to
make our listeners believe that there's some... like, high possibility of things like that happening.
The most common objections aren't about, what about my bank account? It's, what about Social Security? It's, what about Medicare?
Sure.
It's, what about the
military? In theory, Social Security should be given to you as in the form of a check.
Correct. Correct.
Medicare and Medicaid would probably be distributed outside of the state, where you'd have to go through a border check in order
right.
to get there. That can be as long as 2 hours at mm-hmm. the borders down in Mexico. And, you can probably get some of these things. I think that people want to increase their level of convenience, but I think if you talk to them about SWIFT numbers, which could very well be the case, remember, the United States cut off the SWIFT numbers for Russia.
They did.
During this recent war. And, you know, they're probably going to consider it an act of war in the case of New Hampshire.
That's
so,
just another big if. I mean, yeah. Why would they consider, what rational reason would they have for considering it an act of war? I know they don't act rationally, but it just seems like...
it's not an act of war. I mean, international... and there is such a thing as, like, international law.
Bonnie, do you think
right?
there's actually a war occurring in Ukraine right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
If I had to guess...
that's the thing.
Galina, our caller, said there is. My mom went to Ukraine a few months before the war started, adopted a little boy, and the orphanage is now exploded.
Okay.
No kids were in it, but...
interesting facts. I just don't know what's going on there.
You can't tell. You have to believe the media, and who's going to do that?
Is a fake war a war? Like, I would say if it's all staged and they're really, you know, just have some other, you know, thing up their sleeve they want to accomplish. Like, if the story is not really all the things we have been told, yeah, I totally believe that, but I do also think things are getting exploded.
There are definitely videos of alleged, you know, bombings and such going on, at least.
An FBI team that blows up a couple of things in New Hampshire and says, hey, it's these darn radicals. You get yourself a war.
So according to the study done by the University of New Hampshire this time, so definitely a much more well-known organization here in New Hampshire, only about 5% of people here heard a lot about the secession measure.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Mother Nature is putting on some fireworks of her own ahead of the 4th of July. The National Weather Service issuing hazardous weather alerts for more than 100 million Americans during the extended holiday weekend. Forecasters saying thunderstorms are likely across the mid-Atlantic and northern plains today, with hot temperatures and excessive heat warnings across the south and southwest. The Postal Service is raising the price of a stamp from 63 cents to 66 cents. The Post Office will also increase rates for packages and marketing mail. The changes are set to begin Sunday. Over a half a billion dollars is on the line for tonight's Powerball drawing. Lottery officials say the jackpot in the multi-state lottery game will be worth $522 million. As for Tuesday night's Mega Millions jackpot, that's worth $400 million. Tim Berg, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show, and you can bring up whatever you want. The number here, if you want to do that, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We do have our website where you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners via various features such as our social media platform, which you can go to social.freetalklive.com, interact with other show hosts, some of them, as well as listeners. And it is our server. It's running Mastodon, so it's more decentralized than those big tech mega corporate sites like Twitter or Facebook. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. You can get started over there, and you can learn more about the cool stuff happening here in New Hampshire. It's not just the independence movement. There's a lot of really great liberty activism going on here, and our friends over at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars that will help educate you on some of the really cool things happening here. All you have to do is go to move.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate website where you can get registered for upcoming webinars. They are free to attend. And these are hosted by experts. These are hosted by people who are, I think almost all the Porcupine Real Estate staff are movers as part of the Free State Project. So they're people that know the lay of the land from a real estate perspective and also from the Liberty Community perspective. They're going to be covering topics including gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They're, of course, going to be covering moving to the free state, best practices for that, as well as how to find housing here. And, of course, Porcupine Real Estate also has their own YouTube channel where you can go and watch past webinars there so you can see what they've been like. But more importantly, you can sign up for the upcoming ones for free over at move.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, let's go to Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Mark. Miss Bonnie, good evening.
Hello.
What's up, Ricky?
Well, we talk about secession, and that's something very important to me. Now I have 4 points, and they all go together, and by the point number four, you'll see my serious concern. Here's point number one. 8 years ago, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico was looking to join the Union. Now, the federal government said, sure, no problem, but here's the thing. Only one hitch. You have to be a state. You can't be a Commonwealth. Now the people were divided 50-50, and their government made the decision, screw this, we're going to stay the way we are, which means a U.S. territory with one single non-voting member in the U.S. House, and that's it. Okay.
That's right. And every time it comes up again and again, yeah, that's right. So any territory tends to have a representative,
right,
but they're not allowed to vote.
Yeah, I knew the territories don't vote, but for some reason I thought he said that if they were a state, they wouldn't be able to vote. But yeah, I had never heard.
They're not part of the union. This will make sense, Bonnie, so hang in there. Point number two. Then you got the Civil War. Now, this is something a little different. Now, this is leaving the Union. Now, in 1861, South Carolina blew the U.S. Constitution away. The CSA formed quickly. Now, what they did was not only leave the Union, but they went one step further, which was the right choice. They said, this territory, this land, it belongs to us, not you anymore. What resulted? 600,000 deaths, the economy obliterated on both sides, and the infrastructure of the South destroyed. Let's move on to point number three, why don't we? Now, it was a couple of months ago, Puerto Rico's back in the news again, but this is a little different. Now, once again, they're looking to join the Union. Now, here's how this one goes, and you can look this one up. See, this time they said, sure, but this time a bill went through the House of Representatives that gives them three choices. Okay, choice number one, join the Union. You can be a state. Okay, that's number one. Point number two, you can be something called a pre-association. That's also joining the Union. But you know what that's exactly like? The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is a pre-association, but it's part of the Union, but in a different way than, say, like New Jersey. Here's point number three, what they call independence. Independence is exactly what they are currently, a U.S. territory with a single non-voting representative in the House.
I don't know if I would call that independence.
I wouldn't either, but there's a point to this. Here's point number four. Now, one of the things I'm looking at seriously and why I want that seat, because I know the power in the PA House when it comes to blowing the U.S. Constitution away. Now, we are a pre-association. Now, imagine this. Remember what I said about the Civil War? Now, I'm not going to be happy leaving the Union and saying we are still a territory. I'm going to want to say this land is ours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think? Now, if I say, okay, we'll leave the Union, but yet you can still have a territory as independence, maybe they'll be fine. Obviously, this went through the House, this bill, right? But what if I say this land is ours? What do you think they're going to do?
Well, that is the big question. I mean, that is the...
I think it's going to end up like the Civil War, because that's what made Lincoln crap his pants, and he, by force, stole the land at all costs and said he'd kill everyone on both sides.
Yeah, but this isn't the
1800s. That's the thing, yeah, like...
It doesn't
we have
matter.
Cell
you think they're going to care?
Yeah, I think they are going to care. Go ahead, Bob.
You know, 100 years does matter.
But and you were going to say, we have cell phones today, we have internet today. It's not like they can just roll in tanks somewhere and not have anyone and like crush an uprising without everyone on the planet knowing about it within 5 minutes. I mean, it is going to be something completely unheard of as far as in the last 150 years. I don't think they're
Americans
going to...
Americans are not used to Americans getting killed in war.
No, that would be very uncomfortable. In fact, that is an important question that we asked. And thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. It is one of the important
questions... I have something to say about something he said that he wouldn't let me comment on. I mean, you can continue. Sorry. I was just going to say
that in the original survey that we did in Survey USA last year, which was done in 8 states. It wasn't just done in New Hampshire. It was done in, I think, Texas through Florida, basically the whole southern part. So Georgia, Alabama, etc. And then I think Hawaii also got the survey, if I recall. Maybe it was California. Anyway, it was like 8 states. And in every one of those states, they asked a question about what do you think should the federal government do for any state that peacefully secedes? Should the federal government use military force? Should the federal government use sanctions, economic sanctions, or should it do absolutely nothing? And the majority of the respondents, I think it was just over 50%, said do nothing, somewhere in the 50% range, said do nothing. A smaller number, like 30-something percent, I think, said economic sanctions. And a very small number, an average of 6%. In some of the states, it was as low as 3%, if I recall correctly. But an average of, I think, 6% said, in all the 8 states, said military would be fine. Would go ahead, invade, use military
Still
force.
Kind of less scary than, high.
That's one out of 20
it's
people.
Bad, but
okay,
it's disgusting.
It's one out of 20
I'd like
people.
To talk
not
about
popular.
The... What was that name of that pipeline that got blown up at the very beginning of the Ukraine war? Do you remember that?
I don't remember what it's called. Oh, Nord Stream.
The Nord Stream pipeline. Yeah,
yeah.
That's right. Thank
it
you
wasn't
very much
at the
fine.
Beginning, though. That was actually in September of 2022. But Biden was talking about blowing it up before the Russians actually invaded Ukraine.
Yeah, so less than a year in.
There was a plot afoot for that.
Did the U.S. Ever claim credit for the Nord Stream pipeline? Or did
no,
the,
never.
They
it was Seymour Hersh.
Is the official story still that Russia blew up its own extraordinarily valuable
Is there
pipeline?
An official story, or are they just like, we don't
what
know
say.
What happened?
No, I think they are blaming Russia, but Seymour Hersh, I believe so, but Seymour Hersh, who is, very renowned investigative journalist, he's in his 80s, he put out a multi-thousand word report about, like, digging into what really happened with the Nord Stream pipeline, and he has sources within the federal government that obviously he's not going to name, who basically laid out the whole plot. And it was the CIA, it was the military, they, and I'm sure other agencies or whatever, they got together. This thing had been planned for quite some time. They said that they sent divers down in the summertime when there were, this was in the Baltic, that they sent these divers down during what were normal, like, UN military operations that happened during the summertime. So there was already,
commotion.
You know, military boats and things like that that were around. So they used this as their cover to go down and plant essentially explosive charges on the pipelines, and they did not explode them until months later in September. And Seymour Hersh did a huge expose on this. It got near to zero coverage in the American media, but it's out there for anybody that wants to find it. He has
Is Seymour Hersh murdered?
No, he's still alive. He's done a lot of, like, really revealing investigative journalism stories over the years. He's very, very well renowned. So the fact that he's putting this out there, to me, is like, okay, yeah, that's the story. I mean, this guy's really plausible and believable.
What I would bet would be that the federal government, and it seems like they've got the resources to do something like this, would just send in a crew of guys, I don't know where they're from, CIA, NSA, you pick. They're going to start blowing up some things that aren't particularly valuable in New Hampshire, but are going to make a big kaboom, right?
Mm.
And then they'll say, hey, look what these dangerous free staters, who they've been doing investigations on for 20 years now, right? And they've got, you know, these files saying that they're a dangerous gang, they're armed criminals. Mm. They've got, you know, they've got the people of New Hampshire convinced that you're dangerous enough to convict without any evidence at all of 6 crimes, I think it was. And they'll just say, hey, look, there is a war, ladies and gentlemen, going on in New Hampshire, and we need to quell it. So they'll fight themselves on both sides. It's not like they don't do this constantly. They're very good at it. They're practiced at it. I think that.
But what would they benefit from? I understand why they would do this in other countries where there is oil and stuff like that, but I just don't think that that is worth them possibly losing a lot of people's respect. And it's not like, you know, there's going to be...
Well, he's saying they would be hiding that it was...
I know. They'd be hiding that they started it, but then they'd go, we got to kill a bunch of New Hampshireites, and a bunch of people would die.
They won't kill anybody. Look, there's not even that many people dying in Ukraine right now. It's just that every once in a while they blow something up. And I presume it has two sides, but honestly, the casualties going on right now...
Americans don't care if Ukrainians die. Americans do not care. But if they hear one person accidentally got blown up in Nashua, they're going to care.
Well, now, Mark, are you saying, just to clarify, are you saying they're going to do this well in advance of any kind of referendum or any kind of
vote? I think they're
going
to do it all. Right? Like, they're not going to let if a referendum looks like it's going to go through, they've learned their lesson from Brexit. Right? Like, nobody did anything in Brexit, and they likely, it's not the kind of country that necessarily would. But if they're like, it's going to be close, it could be 40-60 our way, meaning the government's way, the U.S. government's way. They'll be like, nope. We gotta make sure that we gotta do something here.
Well,
guys.
Right now, I think what they're already doing is they're already planting FBI agents here in
Nazis.
New Hampshire, and they're acting like they're
That's
Nazis.
That's what I immediately thought of, too.
Right? There's this group that appeared, two or three weeks ago in Concord.
Oh.
They have you seen these Patriot Front guys, Mark?
I've heard the term. What are they, the Christian nationalists?
I don't know.
I don't think
they're
Christian.
I don't know what they purport to believe, but they seem to be kind of like right-wing, maybe white nationalist types, but if you go and just look them up, you'll see that what they do is they show up at places, they wear masks.
All the same outfit.
They all have the same outfit on, like khaki pants and like a blue shirt or whatever.
Fed
pretty
outfit.
Suspicious.
Right.
It looks very Fed-like. They never show their face. Very rarely will any of them actually be showing their face. They've exited. There's been video of them leaving events in various places around the country, and somebody with a camera who's not with them will like follow them, and they'll pile all into the back of a U-Haul truck and then take off and leave the scene.
They will literally do like Nazi salutes. Like how obvious can they be that they're like not regular people?
Somebody else took a picture
of
FBI agents at like, you know, raiding somebody's house or whatever, and the FBI uniform was literally the same uniform as what the Patriot Front people were wearing, except the FBI had the letters FBI on the back of the blue shirt. Otherwise, it was a like blue shirt, khaki pants.
Wow.
Pretty much the exact same uniform. Anyway, there was something that happened here in New Hampshire. They looked like the Patriot Fronters. I'm not sure if that's what they were representing themselves as.
Oh, I didn't know they weren't.
But they showed up. I don't know if they were or they weren't. I didn't watch the video from the event. But they showed up at some restaurant where some liberals were hanging out or having some kind of meeting.
It was Teetotaler, I think that's what it's called.
In Concord.
In Concord, a tea or coffee tea cafe place.
Yeah.
And they were having a drag queen story hour.
Oh, okay.
So they showed up to intimidate the drag queens
and they were
also
doing,
children.
Like, Nazi salutes.
Yeah, they were doing Nazi salutes over and over again and just like standing outside the windows because it's like lots of windows that you could see out. So they're standing, you know, encircling the windows, terrifying children in the name of protecting the children.
But here's the thing. The racist groups here, or at least one of these Nazi groups, showed up in Manchester a couple of months ago at a Trump rally. And our guy, friend of the show, sometime co-host, Joa from Breaking the Flaw was there along with Vermin Supreme and a couple of Vermin's buddies. And they started to, they got their cameras out and they went after these Nazi guys and started, you know, peppering them with questions and following them around. And what they learned was these Nazis were handing out secessionist literature in Manchester, which, again, makes it seem like, this is something the feds would do, right?
Yeah.
Go around acting like they're Nazis and associate secession with Nazis.
Yeah, I think that what you have to do is look at the – you asked why would they do these things, Bonnie, and the federal government doesn't operate on a profit motive. You know, they operate in a sort of – in a world of – credibility and a world of sort of power. And the reason that they would do these things is that losing a state from the United States is an incredible blow to the power of the United States. Remember, it's not like anything less than the world reserve currency is at play here. So, losing New Hampshire.
I see it. No one even knows New Hampshire exists. I never thought about New Hampshire.
They will until when they secede.
I don't think that it would even be news that went on for 2 weeks.
It would be news.
The entire world, I don't think they would be like, did you hear New Hampshire seceded? They know Texas, Florida, Hawaii, California. Like, people aren't wondering, or people wouldn't care if Nebraska seceded. I just don't think that it's as big a deal as what. I think that the feds will try to do things to make it hard for it to happen. I just don't think they're going to start a hot war with New Hampshireites.
That doesn't seem
likely. Well, they're not. New Hampshireites aren't going to fight. I mean, I wouldn't fight the federal government over something like this.
Well,
it's not worth it.
You left.
What I'm saying
going
is
to threaten to
they will fight
us.
Themselves. Like these Patriot Front guys, they'll fight themselves. They'll fight these people. So now we got to beat these guys up. And then they've got a hot war on their hands with themselves. So now they have to, you know, react. And here it goes. This is all before the vote takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And the vote will never take place as a result because the people of New Hampshire are like, I don't want anything to do with these Patriot Front guys. Looks like they're the, you know, but I mean, this is how they control it. It's all about control.
I can see this all happening then, Mark. So, like, what I thought you were saying before was we're going to declare independence and then they're going to have someone on the inside start something so that way they can declare war, roll in tanks to New Hampshire. And I don't see that happening. But I can totally see feds fighting feds, create unrest, make people think that the people who are into secession are Nazis, the vote never happens. But that's why we just got to kind of keep talking about it, talking about why sane, peaceful people believe in secession, talking about why we want the borders to still be open when we secede. We don't want to keep out other people.
I think the best thing you can do personally is talk about it. There's no problem. A state should have the right, and there should never be violence used against that state and its people if they want to secede. However, I think that really what you want to do is use the power of secession without secession. You want to say, hey, look, we don't want the tax regime that the United States federal government has, or whatever. We don't want the FBI operating within our borders. We don't want your drug laws. We don't want this. We don't want that. The nullification that's been done all over the country in the name of marijuana recently and has a great deal of legs. Now, I don't think you can get out of the IRS, and I doubt very seriously you can get out of the FBI. I mean, the law enforcement in New Hampshire and around the country has just way too much respect for the FBI. They're going to be like, I can't wait till I can be one of them.
In New Hampshire, we've already done a little bit by that bill. I don't remember the number anymore, but it passed, where it made it to where the local law enforcement will not help the ATF, I think, if the ATF comes into the state.
Yeah, but they watered it down.
I know they watered it down, but it doesn't mean it didn't get passed.
Something did happen. Let's go to the phones here. Bad Slave.
Every step is a good thing.
Bad Slave is on the line here. Go ahead, in New Hampshire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to remind folks of the Boston Marathon with the two brothers that supposedly, bombed the...
Yeah, the Tsarnaev brothers, yep.
I forgot their names.
Right. Do you remember that same uniform was all over the Boston Marathon?
Oh, was
I think
it?
That was the first appearance of maybe that Patriot Front. Everybody
no, I have no recollection
that
of that
were.
At all.
Yeah, me either. I forgot.
No,
I was even...
They had these guys with the blue shirt and the khakis And they also had these big backpacks.
Oh, remembered something from two weeks ago. There was video, and I don't remember where it happened, but in some state, the Patriot Front guys had a clash with the guys that wear the yellow and the black.
Proud Boys.
There was like a clash between the Proud Boys who don't wear masks and are like identifiable, and then the Patriot Front guys who are all wearing masks. The Proud Boys came at the Patriot Fronters and were like yelling at them, and then the Proud Boys started ripping their masks off.
Yeah.
And there was some report that came later on that said that the Proud Boys may be facing charges for assaulting federal agents. Now, I don't know.
I have not confirmed
that that was true. I don't remember where that came from.
You should not be able to get a charge like that if you didn't know they were federal agents because they were undercover. It was just not fair.
Yeah. Well, if it's true,
yeah,
it's really
charge people with whatever they want.
All of this secrecy is nothing but, a knife in the back of us all. They just playing these games, you know. The guy with the, in Minnesota with the, breaking the windows of the...
Right, you're talking about during the protests after the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, where there identified cop, his ex-girlfriend. I think, Matt, you even caught this happening. Matt's joining us here on the third mic here for a moment. Remember that guy that was smashing in, like, the AutoZone window?
Yes, and he was, like, a St. Paul cop or something, and his ex-girlfriend
identified
him
by his walk, by his gait.
That's right.
Wow.
You know, and I want to jump in real quick because just listening here, Bad Slave... In the studio, I heard you talking about the guys at the Boston bombing with the khakis and they're actually black jackets. They're all dressed the same. And they all had big black backpacks on, right? Those are suspected to be people who belong to a group called Kraft International.
Who's that?
Kraft International is like a Blackwater.
Mm.
They're like they're mercs,
okay,
basically, and they call themselves a security agency or whatever. Really, they're just mercs.
So what were they doing there?
Well, it's kind of questionable. There was so many of them crawling around, little creepy spy dudes, you know, that belonged to an elite group of people who know how to bomb stuff.
They ran around searching people's houses afterwards, so I bet it was just a big excuse to search a bunch of people's houses.
Yeah, that was really crazy, too.
For whatever reason, we may never know.
I appreciate it. Oh, we got more coming up here. If you want to join the show, the searching they were doing was shocking and outrageously, like, unconstitutional, just barging into anybody's house that they wanted to. It was crazy. More on the way. Hour number two is coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.